Christmas and a happy new year. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Cheap Date Show for December 22nd, 2007. I'm Joe, and I'm looking at my beautiful wife across the table from me.
Oh, what is she doing here?
Oh, geez, quick, hide.
Arf, arf.
Well, as you can guess from the way the show started, it's going to be a slightly different show. We do not have a restaurant review for you tonight, but we have some little tidbits of a bunch of different things here for the holiday season. That's Lisa, by the way.
Little bits of holiday cheer.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Wait, let me try that again. Little bits of holiday cheer.
That's more like it. Let's get to it, shall we? All right, one of the things that we enjoy doing is, we enjoy doing a lot of different things. Last year, we touched a little bit on A Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
So we went on a mission this year.
I love A Christmas Carol.
We went on a mission this year. One of the things from last year, you may remember, we had a debate with regards to the versions of A Christmas Carol that we grew up with. Lisa grew up with the version starring...
George C. Scott. Well,
and I grew up with a version starring Reginald Owen and the Lockhart family as the Cratchit family. We decided to... Oh, and so on top of all of this, we also added two more Christmas carols to our repertoire, if you will. We saw the Goodman Theater's production of A Christmas Carol, the play, which is the 30th anniversary of this performance, which was absolutely wonderful, would you say?
Don't give it away.
Okay. And then we also saw A Muppet Christmas Carol, just to sort of get the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
So.
And I remember Mickey's Christmas Carol from when I was little. We'll need to check that out.
We'll check that out.
As we continue to expand our...
Dickensian adventures.
Yes.
Okay. So, what do you want to talk about first? Well, let's review. You grew up with the George C. Scott version.
Right. Which was 1984 made for TV production. The reason I grew up with it, I don't know if they showed it every year, but we had it on tape. And as far as I know, the version we taped back in 85, right after we got our very first VCR, was sponsored by IBM. Very prominently sponsored by IBM. Yeah.
So let's compare, let's talk about... How do you want to talk about it? You want to talk about the differences? You want to talk about the things you really like, the things you don't like?
I'll tell you what I really like about the George C. Scott version. I hope I'm not covering stuff I covered. I don't remember
what I said
last year. Nobody remembers what I
That's
said
right.
last year. Okay.
They're all drinking eggnog and...
That's what we should be doing. the George C. Scott version was the version in my head for a long, long time. And now that I've seen... and experienced other versions, I like the George C. Scott version best among the movies because I think the acting is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are very real and consistently understated.
Okay. I'm with you.
Scrooge is very understated, but so is Bob Cratchit, so is Fred, so is Mrs. Cratchit, so are the Cratchit kids. It's not as exuberant as a lot of productions of A Christmas Carol. Scrooge is not like a cartoon bad guy, and although he does get very excited at the end, he doesn't get over the top. He doesn't get silly. I mean, he gets a little giddy, but he doesn't get crazy. And all the versions, aside from like the Muppet version, are pretty true to the original work.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't bother arguing that one is more or less true to the work.
So the point is that the George C. Scott version, it's played very real, as if these are really real people, and Scrooge is a crabby guy, and Cratchit's a good guy, and Fred is a good guy, and everything else, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, we saw...
They possibly bring a little more complexity to their characters. Even Bob is a little bit melancholy. Fred has moments of melancholy. He's disappointed. He's like truly disappointed. Right. He's not. And Scrooge seems lonely as well as crabby.
But he has a sense of humor, too.
He has sort of a bitter sense of
humor. Well, yeah.
That's true. Right. But even before he begins his journey, he's a more complex character.
That's true.
Than you sometimes see.
Okay.
So
my favorite character in the George C. Scott version, having seen all these other versions and the play, is still Frank Finlay as Marley. He is totally over the top. And he seems even more over the top because all the other characters are so sort of even tempered.
That's true.
Mankind was my business.
That's true. The Goodman Theater version aside, we'll deal with that as a whole separate thing. Other than that, Marley in the George C. Scott version is the most, exuberant's not the right word, the most intense
yes,
Marley.
Yes, most intense Marley. Most intense character, I think, in a lot of ways, too.
In that version,
In that version, yeah. So that's the Scott version. I grew up with the Reginald Owen version, which is an MGM production. MGM in their classic ways in the 30s. Dress things up a little bit. They cut a lot of stuff out. They change the plot a little bit, because in the MGM version, Cratchit gets fired for hitting Scrooge on the head with a snowball.
They made a lot of changes that I felt were unnecessary.
They did. Well, they were appealing. They were trying. MGM had a very factory mentality back then, and they were out to please as many people as possible when they made these movies.
Maybe
so
they Americanized it a little
and they
bit.
Americanized it a lot, I
the
think.
The church thing.
They changed the name of Scrooge's sister. She went from Fan to Fran.
Yeah, that was just... come on, you think we can't handle Fan?
That's right. The one person who was consistent across all productions that we have seen thus far, even in the Muppet version, is the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Yes.
Very clear. And actually in the book...
In the book,
it's very... Dickens very vividly describes the scene where... Everything from the scene where Scrooge wakes up and sees all the goose and the holly and everything, and the big guy sitting there saying, "Know me better, man." It's very vividly... And even down to the way he's dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And every version we've seen, the guy is dressed exactly the same way. Christmas Present. So... The other thing that, and they changed the way it ended as well. Scrooge still, you know, is a good guy and everything at the end.
Spoiler alert.
They kind of changed it
Tiny
around.
Tiny Tim
so,
doesn't die.
And the thing is, that's the version, that's the version that I grew up with.
The Reginald Owen.
The Reginald Owen version. So those are the two that we went by. So then we went last week and we saw the Goodman Theater production, which... If you're in the sound of our voice and you're listening to this before the production closes, seriously check this out, because this is a wonderful production.
They knocked it out of the park. I like A Christmas Carol. I like Dickens. But I've never seen a version that I thought was better than the George C. Scott version. And I didn't have much expectation at all. I think because it was going to be a stage production, I expected it to be more like the older versions of A Christmas Carol, with Scrooge being more, with the characters all being more one-dimensional. And that was not the case. What marked the Goodman Theater version, the man who plays Scrooge, Larry Yondo, this is his first year playing Scrooge, and he brings, the whole cast brings a joy to the story that was certainly lacking in the Scott version, if there was anything lacking, that was it. And I think is lacking everywhere. They bring a lot of intensity to the Marley character was amazing.
Yes.
Super intense.
Yes.
Just, I mean, unbelievably intense. And the other characters were intense, but also complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they really got the joy and the, you know, the sorrow of Tiny Tim dying and the joy of Scrooge seeing his past replayed and realizing he can be redeemed. And when he wakes up the next morning, you really just think he's going to come up off the stage, just
right,
like levitate, which he does a couple times with the aid of wires, but that's not what I mean. But he really looks like he's just going to fly away.
So it's wonderful. And the whole cast, the like you said, the guy playing Cratchit, his family, the various ghosts were great.
Fezziwig.
Oh, Fezziwig was hilarious. He kind of reminded me of Leo Laporte, actually.
Oh, don't tell either of them that. Really, totally
Christmas
amazing.
Christmas Eve, Dick.
I would think it would be hard to keep making the story fresh, but they really did it.
Absolutely.
They used all of the best technology they have in the theater and just made this. The production values were huge. We had awesome seats,
yeah,
too.
We did.
That helped.
If you're in the area, check that out. It was a wonderful presentation.
And very reasonable to go
yes.
see.
It's a new high watermark for the Christmas Carol productions and whatnot. So.
And it's, you know, it's more expensive than renting a DVD, but
that's
it's
true.
Not as expensive as you would think.
And it's live theater. And you can
yeah.
go, and you can, if you go to the Goodman, you can go to Pederino's right next door, which we've reviewed, and it's actually, and Pederino's is a very good place.
Yes.
Have yourself a
Merry Little Christmas.
No. Didn't they have a Christmas martini?
Oh, probably.
Oh, you had some sort of cranberry thing.
I had a Cosmo.
Cosmo, that's right. I had a dirty martini.
That's not Christmassy.
Oh, it's it's anytime 24/7, baby. So that's
so
that.
What
oh,
else?
Well, now we have a special guest.
Oh, we do.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. Hey, Bex. What's going on?
Nothing. What's up?
Hey, at a Christmas time like this, why don't you tell us some of your favorite things to eat around the holiday? What's your favorite Christmas cookie, Christmas candy, candy corns? Candy canes.
No, I think I'm going to have to go with the meatballs Grandma makes.
Yeah.
And these little hot dogs that Mom makes, like, yeah. you know, at our order of party.
Oh, yeah. Little hot dogs with wrapped in biscuits.
For sure, yeah.
And you cook them up.
Those are so good. Delicious.
What about Christmas cookies?
What about them? They're delicious.
Do you have a favorite kind?
There's only one. There's only the cutout ones. Those are the only Christmas cookies you can have.
Really?
Yeah.
So like if we had other kinds, you wouldn't be allowed to have them?
Like they're not classified under the Christmas cookie category.
Oh. Okay. What about candy? Oh.
What?
I've surprised Rebecca with a box of her favorite Christmas candy. Tell us what you got there.
Fannie Mae Holiday Mint Meltaways.
Yeah. So what's unique about these Holiday Mint Meltaways?
Well, they have red and green sprinkles.
Yeah.
I wait all year for these. So good.
What about Dad's Mad Matzo Ball Soup?
Well, that's pretty good.
And the latkes?
Oh, latkes. Can't go wrong with latkes.
So, Beck, so tell us about one of your favorite Christmas stories. Please do. Nice sniffle, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I have two.
Okay. Two Christmas stories for the Beck.
Okay. So they both have to do it with when I was younger, but we were at, what was that, Spring Hill Mall, and I had my ballerina bear, which was the coolest stuffed animal in the world, by the way, and I was, like, in love with it, and then I lost it. Well, it's the same thing.
Oh.
And
that was Rebecca's phone.
It never rings.
I know.
Anyways, I lose ballerina bear. Total tragedy.
And we don't know where. It was just you and me and Emma, who was in a stroller at the time.
Yes. And it was a huge deal because I was totally attached to her. And then I got really sad. Then Christmas rolled around, what, like a few weeks later?
Yep.
I opened one of my presents, and guess what's there? Ballerina bear.
Santa Claus found ballerina bear.
Santa is real. Magic.
What did I always tell you when you were, one time you came up to me and you said, Dad, are you Santa Claus? And what did I say? Stop believing and see what happens.
No. True that.
So it was very cute because when your little sister started asking questions like that, you just said, Emma.
Stop believing, see what happens.
So that was that. So that was one of your favorite stories. What was your other one?
Well, more recent, but not so recent, like fifth grade, sixth grade or something, when I wanted the new American Girl doll kit, and
oh yeah,
I slept over at Dad's house for Christmas Eve, and I opened up all my presents.
But no, all you had asked Santa Claus for that year was Kit. Oh my God, that's all you wanted was right. The Kit doll.
I opened up all my presents Christmas Eve and all my presents Christmas Day, and then it was time to go back to Mom's house, and I still didn't get Kit. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll have a look at Mom's house. And then we get all our stuff from Dad's car, and he put it inside Mom's house, getting ready to say goodbye. And Dad's like, oh, wait, there's something else in my trunk. So I'm like, okay. So we go out to the trunk with him, and sure enough, there's two Kit dolls in the trunk.
And you said, yay, two Kit dolls for me and none for Emma.
Yeah, that's how it goes. That was like... awesome.
Were you like totally surprised?
That was a total surprise because yeah. I was like, I'm not getting Kit. I don't know what I'm going to do. How will my Christmas go on?
So what do you want this year for Christmas?
A new iPod.
Yeah. Which iPod do you want?
The new Nano. It's okay. Pretty sweet. Some of my friends have it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
iPod speakers, a new, like a big curling iron, the ones they use at Mario Tecochi.
So anything else?
And
I know something that you're going to be getting around your birthday this year.
Driver's license?
No, man. Look out roads.
Car?
Look out Arlington Heights. Well,
how about
I don't
a car?
Know about a car.
Hint.
Well,
car?
That's not much of a hint. Dad, here's a hint. I want a car. Yeah. Okay.
Please.
Please. So what are you going to do New Year's Eve? Have you decided? You and Lisa are going to go out partying, right?
Me and Lisa have got this all planned out. We're going to go hit up a few clubs downtown.
Yeah? You got your fake ID lined up?
Got that all lined up, set. I'm all set. Just me and Lisa can go get some nice clubbing outfits, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know the kind.
Yeah, you just act like you don't know what's going on. Take Emma to a movie or something.
And then you guys can be out clubbing.
Yeah, we'll be back around early morning.
Yeah, maybe stop for breakfast somewhere.
Yeah.
Rock on. Oh, you want to hear something hilarious?
Yeah, go for it.
Lisa and I were downtown this past weekend, and we went into Crate and Barrel downtown on Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy in front of the Crate and Barrel, and he was ringing a bell. And he was ringing the, and I swear to God, this is what he did. This is what he was singing. He's like ringing the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Frosty the snowman had a very shiny nose. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, everybody. It was hilarious. He was doing a medley, a Christmas medley of hits.
That's adorable.
Frosty the Snowman had a very shiny nose.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
There you go. All right, so as we wind up the year 2007, what was your favorite thing that happened in 2007? Anything fun happened in 2007?
I think driving was a pretty awesome experience, learning
sure.
how to drive.
Anything else happened this year?
Oh! You know, my dad got married and...
You got a new stepmom?
Dad moved into a new house. Got my own room, thank God, with
and
a lock.
You, and you painted... your own room with a lock on the door. Yeah. And you painted it.
I painted it, yes. Me. And
you,
only me.
You sponged it.
I did. It looks pretty awesome.
It went from Chicago Cubs blue to pink.
Pink. Like, it's like the brightest pink you've ever seen in your life. It's like, it's pink.
My favorite thing is when in the summertime when we're sitting out on the patio and the light's on in your room, there's a pink glow that comes and the patio is bathed in a pink light.
Or if it's even dark outside and my room is pink, then everything, like, within a 10-mile radius is pink.
So you had a pretty good 07. Looks like you're going to have a pretty good 08. It's going to start off with a driver's license in February.
Basketball season.
That's right. The Rolling Meadows Mustangs are doing very well this year.
5-1. Woo!
Oh, woot woot.
Yeah, man. We're on a winning strike.
Well, very cool. Well, thanks, Beck. Have a merry,
no
merry, 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 merry.
You too, fans. Keep listening.
See ya.
Peace.
Let's talk more
yes.
about food.
That is our thing.
Lisa is going through a Christmas cookie binge right now. Not binge.
You know what I've
cooking
binge. You know what I decided I want to do?
What?
This was going to be my new hobby. I want to dig up and recreate old, old, old recipes.
Okay.
Somebody on NPR made figgy pudding out of suet.
Yeah.
And, you know, figs and stuff. That's going to be my...
I guess that would be part of the figgy pudding thing.
That's going to be my new thing. I'm going to find old, old recipes. But what I've been doing lately is traditional cooking, meaning traditional from my childhood, which was really only about 15 years ago. Anyway.
Just a baby.
Yeah, traditional cooking from my childhood, and in particular, Christmas cutout cookies, which aren't like rocket science, but didn't really come easy to me. I've had a couple not so hot experiences with Christmas, with making my own Christmas cookies, and then this year I really nailed them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great recipe from my mom, makes a full like 6 dozen cookies.
Cutout cookies. Yeah.
Icing, sugar sprinkles.
Oh, yes, I got to be part of the initial batch. Tasting of the initial batch, and oh my god, they're awesome.
And since it made 6 dozen cookies, so did all my coworkers and everyone in the family. And
so Bunch got to come to my office, Bunch got to go to your office.
We're in charge of cooking for going to grandma's house, or in charge of cookies
for grandma's house.
So I wanted to make sure they were the very best cutout cookies.
We're going to try a couple new recipes too.
We're going to make, should I make molasses cookies?
Oh, you make the most awesome molasses cookies.
They're really more Thanksgiving cookie, but I didn't make them at all this fall.
Well, let's do it.
I'm going to make peanut butter cookies with Hershey Kisses in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Those cookies have a little oatmeal. Oh, that's what we need to get. A little oatmeal to make them a little more robust in texture and not like a sugar cookie. What else? I learned how to make peppermint bark.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculously easy. You just melt chocolate and crush up candy canes and sprinkle the crushed candy canes on the peppermint bark.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a rum cake cooling
There's a rum cake cooling on the counter, which I am going to... This is a recipe that I used to make not long after it was legal for me to buy alcohol. I started making this rum cake, and I haven't made it. I think I haven't made it in probably a good 7 years.
Wow.
And I finally... I found the recipe on the internet again, and it's actually the Bacardi rum cake, which is on there, but I use Myers rum instead, which is a much more of a robust rum to me than Bacardi Dark. And yeah, I'll be finishing that up shortly. I just need to glaze it still.
Oh, and we're going to make those little cornflake wreaths.
Yes,
with the green
holly wreaths.
And
I love those.
Marshmallow.
Mm-hmm. And somebody I work with made the... I pick up these little chocolate cookies, and I taste it, and it tastes exactly like a Girl Scout cookie. I'm thinking, oh, this is pretty cool. What is it? And then her husband, who also works there, said, it's a Ritz cracker.
Whoa.
It's a Ritz cracker dipped in chocolate with peppermint oil, and it tastes exactly like a Girl Scout Thin
Mint. You mean peppermint oil is like
mixed into the chocolate, and then you dip the Ritz cracker
in
there.
Is the Ritz cracker still white?
Yeah.
Like a Ritz cracker?
Yeah. Hmm. But it's so thin, and the chocolate, if you do it right, is nice and thick. You don't even notice it.
But it doesn't taste salty.
Not at all. Pas du tout, as they say. It's delicious.
Fascinating. Yeah,
so we'll be doing that as well. So we'll probably have a full report after our little holiday cooking excursion.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. Now, are you going to do what my mom does what my mom used to do when we were kids, and when you make your cookie dough? You're going to put it in the bowl and then put a little sign on it that says, do not eat, with a little skull and crossbones on it. My mom used to do that. She'd write, do not eat, with a little skull and crossbones. And then she'd write, mom, M-O-M, with a little smiley face in the O. Talk about your mixed messages. No wonder it turned out the way I did.
That's so funny. You know what? That's what it is to be a mom. If you scare me like that again, I'll kill you. Or if anything ever happened to you, I would kill you.
So that sounds good. I'm looking forward to this.
I don't think that'll be necessary, but I'm going to get the cookies ready in the next couple days so we can all ice them together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And do sprinkles. We have some sprinkle artists.
Oh, Lord. Get the vacuum cleaner out because we're going to be cleaning up.
No kidding. No kidding.
Okay, so that's going to wrap it up. we hope that all of you are having a wonderful holiday season, having a wonderful Christmas. And for those of you who are listening to this show on your brand new computer or brand new iPod or brand new Zoom or brand new whatever, lucky you. And our show is normally not quite like this, but we think you might like it. So if you like what you hear, stick around.
And in between all those cookies and all that wrapping paper, take a little time, slow down, look at the Christmas lights.
Aww. Do that.
December just flies by now.
I know. Now today, December 22nd, is the first day of winter.
And it's supposed to be like in the 40s here today.
Yeah. And the moon is closer. No, well, the moon is closest to the Earth.
Oh.
Than it's been all month.
I thought we had turned into an astronomy show.
We have. Well, you know, we'll leave that to Jack Horkheimer. But I learned this from watching Jack Horkheimer.
Gotta get
I love Stargazer.
I know you do. Just if we're going to change the format, please tell me before the show begins.
But here you go. There's a full moon tomorrow night on the 23rd. So look at it and you'll see Mars to the lower left. This is really cool stuff, though.
No,
remember, we saw
cool.
that on your parents.
I do, yeah.
So Mars is going to follow the moon all across the sky on the 23rd. And on the 24th, it's going to be really bright. So if it's sunny outside, if it's clear outside, if there's no clouds, you'll get to see the moon and Mars, and they should be really, really bright in the sky because Mars is closer now than it's been in a very long time.
Yeah.
Horkheimer says, it'll be brighter than Rudolph's nose.
If you have kids, you can play a nice trick on them.
That's right. Lisa went to space camp. You should appreciate all this stuff.
I do. Okay. Look, it's Rudolph's nose. It's Frosty's nose.
Okay, so that's going to be it. Have a wonderful rest of the holiday season. Have a great new year. We will talk to you next year. And if people want to get a hold of us, Lisa, how would they do that?
They should email cheapdateshow@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voice comment at 206-203-3283, which spells date. So send us an email or shoot us a voicemail, and we would love to hear from you. And we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you next year with a brand new episode of Cheap Date.
I can't wait.
Have a happy new year, everyone. A Merry Christmas and
Merry
a happy
Christmas.
New year.
Oh, I got red lights all around. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Get my feet on holy ground.
It only seems right that I should lift a glass to my employer. I give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed! If I had him here, I would give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I bet he would choke on it. Choke!
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
I suppose that on the blessed day of Christmas, one must drink to the health of Mr. Scrooge, even though he is odious and stingy, wicked, and unfeeling, and badly dressed.
The founder of the feast, Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge, he'll be very merry and happy this day, I have no doubt.
No doubt. Cheers.
God bless us. Everyone.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at cheapdatemedia.com.